And it says this: humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, there was a man called Augustine, and he was somebody who wrote a lot about God a long, long time ago. And he was really, really knowledgeable about the Bible. And he had something of a favourite saying, and it went like this. He said, "For those who want to learn God's ways, humility is the first thing, humility is the second, and humility is the third." And that may sound like he's a little bit overdoing it. You know, really? What about love, Augustine? You know, what about other things that are really important? But then just listen to these words in one of the Psalms. Listen to this. In Psalm 138, verse 6, it says this: "Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar." So God is on high, but if you're lowly, if you're humble, then God looks upon you, he knows you, he draws near to you. But the proud people who think they're really, really something special, he only knows them from afar off, from a long way. So he comes close to those of us who have a low estimate of our own importance, who don't think of ourselves as being like really majorly important and have great big heads. So that's what it means to be humble, to be lowly, to have a low estimate of our own importance, to view others as being more important than ourselves and God more important than everyone. So the only way that you can know God closely and have a really close relationship with God is if you really want to know how to feel his presence, to draw near to him in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to walk humbly with God. And so it should be of no surprise that in his letter, in the part of the letter that James is writing, when he's about to talk about what it is to have a walk, a Christian walk with God, what it looks like, the Christian life, it's hardly surprising that he has this section here about being humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay, so there are three things, very quickly. The first one, before we'll sing again, right, is this command, okay? There is a command. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves. I don't know if you've ever been humbled by something that was beyond your control. I remember, children, when I used to have this massive grifter bike, right? And it was like the fattest piece of metal. Even to lift it up was a struggle, this grifter bike. But the one thing it was very good at, if you got a good head of speed on you on this bike going down a hill and you slammed on the back brakes, you could do this ginormous skid right across the pavement and you look great, okay, in front of your friends. And I learned how to do an absolutely huge skid. Probably, I'm not exaggerating, probably at least half the length of this room. I know it's impressive, okay? But anyway, there I was on this grifter bike, and one day I remember seeing my friend Martin and his mother walking up the other side of the road from where I lived. And I said, "Martin, Martin, Martin, watch this." Right, big head now, really big head. I was puffing myself up, thought I was really something special. And so I made him and his mother just wait. His mother was like, "Oh, I want to go shopping." But she had to wait, I was insistent. So I came bombing down the hill, and I was so excited about showing him the skid, I pulled the wrong brake. So like the front wheel stopped and I went flying over my handlebars, looking across at this mother who was like totally shocked, and then hit the floor, smashed, blood scratches, and then get up like this. And she must have thought that was what I wanted to show them. She must have thought, "You are not hanging around with him anymore. He is completely out of control." So, but basically, I was humble. I felt so embarrassed, so ashamed. And you know what? It's much better to humble yourself before the Lord rather than have the Lord even humble you and bring you down from a very high height where you think you are really special in a wrong way. So humble yourselves before the Lord. Now, it's a really straightforward command. It's put in a really straightforward way. There's no beating about the bush in this letter. There's no exceptions. There's no excuses that you can make. It just simply says, humble yourselves. And he's saying, get down off your pedestals. Stop thinking of yourselves as so important. And cross out the capital I and come down low and understand who you are before a holy God, the creator of the universe, who flung the stars into space, who spoke light out of darkness, and who orders all things according to his will across the entire universe, every little atom. You know, what are we that God should even think about us? But he does, and he knows us, and he says, humble yourselves. So that's the command, humble yourselves. But secondly, notice this, that you need help to obey God's command. You know, actually, what the original, so I'm told, the Greek means is be humbled before the Lord. So actually, you need help from God to be humble, to see yourself in the way you should see yourself and have a low view of yourself in the, you know, in the right way. And not be arrogant and proud. So Peter, this is what Peter told the authorities at Jerusalem. He said this, that God had raised Jesus from the dead and had exalted him, lifted him up to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. So it's a gift, even coming and asking for forgiveness is a gift that God gives us. It's not something we can muster up in ourselves. It's a gift from above. We need to ask for God's help, even to be humbled by him. It's something which God works in us. And so it's something which we can pray about and ask, Lord, please help me with this. Sometimes I am proud. Sometimes I am arrogant. Sometimes I am full of myself. Lord, please, please help me and forgive me. Help me have a right view of myself. Something that you can all pray, that you'd have a right view of who you are. The same principles hold true as we carry on in the Christian life. You know, while you should certainly be growing in your knowledge, in your maturity as Christians, whilst you're growing up in the faith, all of that should be going, whilst you should be growing in your power and in your usefulness, all of those things should be happening, but you should never be proud of the progress you're making, because all of the progress you make in the Christian life is a gift from above. It's given to you from Jesus. It's a gift that he works mightily and wonderfully by his Spirit. This is what John wrote of a man called Diotrephes. He said this, this Diotrephes, he loved to be first. Loves to be first. It's in 3 John 9. You know, that was his main concern. He wanted to be at the forefront. He wanted to be noticed. He wanted to be seen and admired by others. So, children, have you ever been, I don't know, involved in some sort of sport or something at school where you just want to be on display? You want other people to notice you. Or even as you grow up in your Christian life, you might go to home groups and you might not really have anything particularly useful that you want to contribute, but you just feel you need to be heard and speak out because you want to be heard and admired and thought well of. Well, the Bible says that's clearly wrong. You know, we need to be very careful not to love to be first. Not to love to be admired. You know, as you're serving in the church, whether it's helping in administration, whether it's helping serve teas and coffees, whether you help as children clearing away afterwards, whether it's offering words of encouragement to others, you know, whatever it is you do in the life of the church, does all of that thinking of Diotrephes find a tragic echo in your heart, that you love to be first? It's just something to be warned about. We need to be humbled. We need to be humbled. Now here's a test. So the test is, do you compare yourself favourably to others? Do you look at other people and see their sinfulness or when they stumble? And do you think better of yourself? Does that fuel your own pride and ego secretly in the depths of your hearts? Something to be careful of. This is what Whitfield was written about Whitfield. There's a famous preacher, children. He was called George Whitfield. And Bishop Ryle wrote this about him. Have a listen to this. He was a man of deep and unfeigned humility. In his letters, we read again and again that in the very zenith of his popularity, we find him speaking of himself and his works in the lowliest of terms. In 1953, this is what he wrote. God be merciful to me, a sinner, and give me a humble, thankful, and resigned heart. Truly, I am viler than the vilest, and stand amazed at his employing such a wretch as I am. Let none of my friends cry to such a sluggish, lukewarm, unprofitable worm, spare yourself. Rather spur me on, I pray you, with awake, you sleeper, and begin to do something for your God. And this is what Ryle concluded. He said, those that have the most light and grace are always the humblest. You know, there's George Whitfield preaching 11 sermons a day at one point. And this is what he's writing in his private devotions. Don't say spare yourself. Spur me on. Say do something for your God. Now, I don't know about you. I find that a real challenge. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to get alongside us and encourage us and exhort us to strive for the glory of Jesus in humility, having a right view of ourselves. Okay, so let's just pause there, and we're going to sing now. We've been thinking about humility. We're going to humble ourselves before our Father in heaven, and we're going to sing to God's glory, number 252. So if you've got your hymn books, turn to 252 and we'll stand and sing. Okay, so we've had this command, really simple, straightforward command from God, which says, humble yourselves. But then he gives us a motive for humbling ourselves. He gives us a reason to humble ourselves. He says, before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord. So let's just apply these words in the most simple, straightforward way that we can. So just thinking about humbling yourselves before the Lord as meaning, well, just in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of your Saviour, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, near the Lord. So the question is, are we remembering? Do you remember that Jesus is with you in your homes? Do you remember when you sit down and at a meal that Jesus is with you there? At that meal with you. He's with us now. Do you remember as you turn the TV on that the Lord Jesus, he is with you? As you surf the internet, do you remember Jesus is there with you at that time? As you have your relationship with your wife or husband or other family members or friends, in all of these interactions, do you remember that Jesus is with you, ever present with you? Do you remember it as you're at work with your employees or with your employer? When the Lord says that you are to serve your employer as unto the Lord, are you remembering that Jesus is with you? Even when your boss isn't with you, that Jesus is there. Do you remember him in all of these things that you do throughout your whole life? Every passing moment, he is with you. Now, some people might listen to that and they might think, well, they might be despairing about that. But in fact, it is a wonderful, wonderful truth that Jesus is always with us. It's overwhelming. It's amazing. It's your most wonderful, loving friend, the one who gave his life for you on the cross and then rose again after 3 days, is with you by his Spirit. In everything you say and do, and everything you think. This is the way King David put it in one of his Psalms. He said this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there will your hand guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So David didn't despair at the Lord's presence with him wherever he went. He rejoiced in it. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth that Jesus is always with you. So humble yourselves before the Lord in the presence of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but children as well, this is probably in my own life the time when I sense the Lord's nearness most, when I sense his presence most, when you feel his nearness in the most wonderful way, is almost always for me, and has been throughout my Christian life, when I've been humbled, when I've stumbled into sin, and I've come at last to that point of asking for forgiveness. Maybe in the quietness of my own room or wherever it might be. And you draw near to Jesus and you just come clean with him. You all those compartments in your life that you've kind of kept him out of, where you're happy to have him this morning and this evening, you're happy to have him in certain times of your life, but there are certain times and certain areas of your life when you've shut him out quite deliberately, and then eventually you come to the point, I can't do this anymore, and you just say, Lord, please forgive me, please have mercy on me. And always you find that the shepherd comes and draws near and gives you that peace and reassurance that you, yes, you are still loved in him. You always were. And you know the joy of a fresh sprinkling of his blood, a sense of his presence in your heart and life. And so once again, if there is anybody, children, young and old, whoever you are, if there is something which is keeping you from Jesus, which has caused you to drift away from him, where actually you can't even say you even know what I'm talking about, when we're talking about the felt presence of the Lord in your life, where that's an alien idea to you, then search your hearts, and if there is something which you need to come clean about and confess to him, just encourage you, humble yourselves before the Lord. Draw near to him and you will find he will draw near to you. That is the law of the spiritual realm that is written into this universe. So draw near to Jesus. And finally, just the last thing really this evening. So we've had this command, humble yourselves. We've had the motive, before the Lord. Remember you are in the presence of Jesus. And then lastly, there is this promise, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. In practical terms, pride is often an attempt to lift ourselves up, isn't it? It's when we elevate ourselves. We want to justify ourselves. We want to prove ourselves to be superior in some way, shape, or form. But ultimately, when we're told, if you humble yourselves, he will lift you up, there is this wonderful, wonderful promise that we can rest on. And just in case you're wondering whether or not that's important in Scripture, Jesus said this three times. This is what he said. On the first occasion, he said about the Pharisee and the tax collector, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." If you lift yourself up, you will be humbled, whether it be in this life or in the age to come beyond this life. You will be humbled. Jesus doesn't tell lies. But those who humble themselves will be lifted up. It's a promise. And then on the second occasion, he told the Pharisees, who these religious people, children who just love to parade their religion in front of everybody, he said to them, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Exactly the same thing, second time. And on a third occasion, he was talking about going to a meal or a party where you take the highest place of honour, where you go to the place where you're right next to the host and seen to be really important. And he said, don't do that. In case you're moved to a lower place. Rather, he said this, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We get in this. This can be, there's no doubt about it. Jesus knew this was important to you. As Christians, and even anybody here this evening who doesn't know Jesus, if you humble yourself, he will lift you up. Humble yourself before him. And in terms of the supreme motive, we only need to look at the cross, don't we? And there we have our Saviour, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God himself, who leaves the glory of heaven, where he is worshipped in eternity past by all the angels, who is adored beyond compare. And he comes down from heaven and he came into this world. I mean, the incarnation, when Jesus wrapped himself up in skin and came down a birth canal. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. That God took on flesh, humbled himself and came amongst us. And then willingly laid down his life on the cross for us. Though we have gone astray, though we have sinned, though we have fallen short from God in so many ways, yet in love he humbled himself even to the cross. All the shame, the flogging, the crown of thorns, the spitting, the cursing, the desertion of his friends, just there, abandoned even by his Father in heaven, as he took the punishment for sin. Well, he's feeling abandoned. And all because of his love for us. Now, there is humility. This is what it says in Philippians 2, a passage just before what we read this morning. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, just as you can't match Jesus' perfect humility, so you'll never match his unspeakable glory. But if you humble yourselves before the Lord, you will be lifted up. Let's just pray now. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have made it so clear how we draw near to you. Father, we thank you that we must humble ourselves before you. Lord, we thank you that even that you help us with by your Spirit. Father, we thank you that we can draw near to you, the living God, and then know something which is just beyond description, that we can know you, that you would make your home in us by your Spirit as we humble ourselves before you, that you would fill us with your being. But just as our Saviour is in the Father and the Father in him, so you make your home in us. Lord, we can't take that in. Father, we are amazed at your grace, your kindness, your mercy, your love. Father, we pray for anyone here now who is struggling with sin or not struggling enough with it, who needs to humble themselves before you. Lord, help them, we pray, to just come clean and speak to you in humility and ask for the forgiveness they need. And Father, if there is someone outside of Christ here this evening who doesn't have a clue what we're talking about, Father, we pray that in your love and your mercy, you would humble them, draw them irresistibly to Jesus, bring them to know him as we know him, that they may rejoice in sins forgiven, that they may rejoice in the love that you have for them, that you lavish upon us in your Son Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's stand to sing again now as we close hymn number 182. 182.